You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hey everyone, we're taking the week off. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. This week, we're re-releasing our episode on Dear David, an internet mystery-turned-Hollywood film that will be released later in 2022.
You can also head over to our Patreon for some bonus content like our new segment, Wed It Drama, where we put to good use all of the time I have blown scrolling the various wedding planning and wedding shaming subreddits by giving you a glimpse into the juicy wedding drama. And you catch our all-new mini-sode that's going to drop later this week on a super strange Dallas mystery that goes all the way back to the city's beginning.
We also have two live stream events coming up. On January 19th at 8 p.m. Central, we'll be streaming live on Crowdcast for our first monthly Q&A of 2022. We'll answer the top 20 most upvoted questions. Then on January 20th at 8 p.m. Central, you can join us live on Crowdcast as we perform one of our bonus segments. One of the ones people can vote on is the Wed It Drama.
You have until January 17th to vote on whether we're going to do Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, or the Wed It Drama. So you can choose, and then we'll perform it for you live on January 20th.
Head to patreon.com/sinisterhood to join all the fun and stick around after this week's episode for your Patreon shoutouts and thank you corner. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Thanks so much, and keep it creepy.
This viral story took the internet by storm. A lone man haunted and paralyzed by the ghost of a small boy. Did this escalate into a full-on demonic possession, or were we all the victims, haunted by an attention-hungry internet charlatan? This week's episode is Dear David.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Did you have the internet when you were a kid?
God, how old do you think I am?
I don't know. I don't mean to be mean.
Yes, we did have the internet. We did have when AOL would send out those CDs.
I do remember that.
Do you remember that? And yep. You had to pay per minute, I think.
You only got like 30 minutes free, or you got like 3 hours free.
So I do remember my mom setting a timer on the stove so I wouldn't spend hours on it and rack up a lot of bills. Also,
it took up the
phone line.
Correct.
So I was preventing everyone in the household from using the phone.
So my family had two phone lines. One was our regular phone, and then my parents got a phone for my sister because she was so popular and cool, and boys called her all the time. Mm-hmm. And then she grew up and moved away, and it was great because no boys ever called me, and I could get on the internet as much as I wanted.
So then it became the internet's phone.
It became the internet phone.
I also had my own phone line growing up.
Did you have a clear phone?
I did not have a ton of boys calling me, but I did have a desire to talk on the phone all the time, which is crazy because now I hate talking on the phone.
I do too. Please don't call me.
Don't ever call me.
I don't answer. That's
why. I mean, call me if there's an emergency, But even then, text me first.
I have at work, I have a secretary. It's rad. I don't have to answer ever.
God, I wish I had a secretary.
You just be like, tell me who that is. And she's very nice. And she says, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, I love you.
And she's British?
She is. It's even amazing. Better. So when I was a kid, I remember seeing things on the internet that became sort of like internet lore that at the time, I was actually just talking with someone about this today in the context of Abducted in Plain Sight and how this the dad has now become a meme and part of our cultural zeitgeist that for I'll never forget that guy. For years, I'll never
you
forget.
Will.
And that is a thing now that happens is that we all collectively get to experience these things together. Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the, not in the 90s, I guess it was like late 90s, there was a guy online that they called him Peter Pan Boy.
And I do not remember this.
He was like a cosplayer and wore Peter Pan costumes. Anyway, but I remember it was funny because you talk to people from other places and they knew about this thing. And I thought it was neat that the internet was this thing that was going to bring us all together.
And said it tore us all apart.
Well, a little bit. but it, then it brings us, you know, like our subject today where people around the world are enraptured by a person's happenings in a person's apartment.
Social media has taken the way we all communicate and elevated it into a thing that this is just how it is now.
Well, people are always like, it's a cesspool. It's the worst. But I have a teacher who I love so much and she retired a few years ago and she lost her husband a few years after she retired. And she'll post sometimes and say, well, I just want my students to tell me what's going on in their lives. And hundreds of us will tell her,
oh, I love
I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm a teacher. And she responds to every one of them and is just says, I'm so proud of you and you've made me feel so connected. And
it absolutely serves good.
Thing. Yeah, it's a magical
It serves
thing.
Good. It serves bad also. But it's important to know your limits and what – if something makes you feel bad, if Facebook – getting on Facebook every day makes you feel bad, then don't get on Facebook every day.
You delete Facebook.
Yeah, you don't have to be on it. Or a lot of people I know will get off of it for 2 weeks and then jump back on for a week. And just having those mental breaks
Good
can
cleanse.
Really help you.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. If something – or Twitter can be kind of a cesspool. And if it doesn't make you feel good, don't go to there.
Exactly. Well – you know who else didn't feel good?
Well, Moby Dickhead. That's the other thing is that we've had to cultivate these screen names. Well, the earliest screen name I remember was BSB Princess.
What was BSB?
Backstreet Boys.
Nice.
I learned how to make HTML on websites that were dedicated to Howie D from the Backstreet Boys.
That's pretty fantastic.
But I do remember that was a screen name. And then I had a Zanga, and my Zanga screen name was One Curly Fry, because there's a Jason Mraz song where he talks about he's one curly fry in the
Very
box
nice.
Of the regular. So I think that tells you a little bit about how I fancied myself as a 14-year-old.
So I remember I had...
CW Buck.
CW Buck is now my Twitter handle, yes. I think I had Lady Fantastic for a while.
It's a pretty good one.
I think that was an AOL, an AIM screen name. You know, I have a terrible memory, so I really don't remember. But
I latched onto Heather versus the World in 2012 and just sort of stuck with it.
A lot of people will pick something. A lot of our friends have even said, I'm stuck with this for life. Because Tyler Simpson said on the Jehovah's Witness episode, he picked that Twitter name back when Twitter was first a thing, but he has an established following and he's gone viral. And so
you're like,
I want to change it even though I hate what this Twitter name is?
It's too late.
It's too late.
But it's not too late for Moby Dickhead.
Maybe. Or is it too late?
It's true.
I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
Today we are talking about an internet ghost story that took Twitter by storm back in 2017 called Dear David. Do you remember this happening
Absolutely.
When it happened?
Oh, I remember. I mean, I read the tweets right when they came out.
I did not.
I'm a Twitter user more so than you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people.
I've been trying to be better. I have tweeted twice in the past 4 days.
Congratulations.
So I'm pretty proud of that.
You know what? You're increasing that algorithm there.
But I got 10 likes the other day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I read about it when it first came out. And then a cousin of mine on my brother-in-law's side, Taylor, she was posting a lot about it. And then she and I would go back and forth and talk about it. She's got excellent taste in everything. She's a big Parks
and Rec fan.
Did you
think it was real when you were reading it?
Initially, yeah. When you're reading it, it's hook, line, and sinker, right? You get sucked in. And much like any good ghost story, it sort of weaves a tale thread by thread.
It does. And then it either unravels into a huge mess or it has a nice sweater at the end. A nice haunted sweater.
And it loops us all in.
Well, let's get into this ghost story.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't, or even if you have, here, we're going to break it all down.
We're going to revisit it for you. On August 7th, 2017, webcomic artist and BuzzFeed writer Adam Ellis, better known as @Moby_dickhead, set Twitter ablaze with a series of tweets that began with,
"So my apartment is currently being haunted by the ghost of a dead child, and he's trying to kill me."
People were immediately drawn into this modern-day haunting, and Ellis's tweets quickly went viral. With each new development in the story, Ellis gained thousands of followers who were retweeting this terrifying tale. Ellis claimed that the boy had first appeared to him in dreams, but that Ellis was fearful the boy had now crossed over into the real world.
Well, and I think that's an important thing in literary criticism, is that a good ghost story, much like Turn of the Screw, which is Henry James, which the teacher that I talked about earlier made me read, it reels you in by, it always starts with, it was somebody that was just like you.
Sure.
Amityville Horror.
It's relatable.
The Smurl family, a hardworking middle-class family, and also usually it's brought on by something that they didn't do themselves, because it's hard for you as a reader or listener to have sympathy for someone who says, well, I pulled out my Ouija board and started. And I think that's why some people watch the Paranormal Activity movies and you say, well, screw these dummies. They pulled the Ouija board out and they brought it on themselves. But the movie Poltergeist, or any ghost story movie that you see, you start out with a really neutral family, a really neutral guy. He's just an average guy. He's just your average BuzzFeed writer.
It could be. He's just your average comic that writes for BuzzFeed.
Your average millennial.
Well, Ellis went on to further elaborate by tweeting,
"The first time I saw him, I was experiencing sleep paralysis, and I saw a child sitting in the green rocking chair at the end of my bed. He had a huge misshapen head that was dented on one side. I did my best to draw it."
Ellis's sketch depicted a young boy around 5 or 6. One side of his head was completely caved in. He had a blank, yet sinister, expression.
Well, this would be a new thing for Adam Ellis to draw, was a picture he hadn't already drawn before.
Whoa!
Turns out, rabbit hole I went in was the internet webcomic criticism rabbit hole.
That's a deep hole.
Oh my gosh. There's an entire wiki called Bad Web Comics Wiki, and they break down the good, the bad, and the ugly about web comics. I asked our friend Austin Guttery, who's a web comic. I love Austin's work, and he's very brilliant. And he said that this guy was referred to on Comedy Cemetery, which is a subreddit for people.
Comics go to die.
Yes, it's for people to go on and talk shit about web comics. So people, and also,
there is nothing worse than the angry nerd.
You know, and I think the other thing is that this is a guy who went to art school, graduated, and is getting paid to make art. And I bet that would engender a bunch of anger and jealousy from those who maybe weren't drawing.
Haters gonna hate.
You know, when you look at it and you say, well, I could do that. Why doesn't BuzzFeed pay me? He sucks and he copies and pastes his stuff. Well, yeah, also, if BuzzFeed asks you to do, I'm not an Adam Ellis apologist, but his argument was, you know, I'm asked to do all these drawings. I need to be able to do things on a, you know, quick turnaround or whatever.
When a person experiences sleep paralysis, it can be hard to distinguish between dreaming and reality. It is also common for those afflicted to see figures in their room.
Yeah, because they're being friggin' haunted.
Well, I'll get to my own experiences with sleep paralysis in a second. Ellis said in the dream the child started shambling towards him, but that Ellis woke up before the boy got to him.
So you have had sleep paralysis?
Several times, yes. And
what
I do not think I'm haunted, but it is very terrifying. And it's happened a lot of times, but the times that stick out to me, one just happened about 2 weeks ago. I feel as if my soul is being sucked out of my body.
And you're telling me you're not haunted?
By a demon. It's very common, actually. As weird and crazy as that sounds,
people losing their souls is very common?
It's very common to feel like your soul is leaving your body when you're experiencing sleep paralysis.
I think you're crossing over into another dimension.
It's also super common to feel as if something heavy is on your chest and you can't breathe, which is why people feel as if a demon or something is sitting on them. And to see shadowy figures in your room or feel like something is pressing on the bed, which is why also a lot of people think they've been abducted by an alien when it happens. But it is just because your body is not going through the REM cycle the correct way, and you come out of it before your body has actually woken up. Mm. So you're paralyzed.
Do you think that maybe it's not, you can't go through the REM cycle because you've been abducted by an alien? Because the
I'll tell you, this last time it happened, when I was awake, but I could not move, I was thinking in my head, oh my God, what if I was just abducted by an alien because there was some weird sex stuff going on in the dream? And I thought, what if I just got implanted with an alien embryo? And it fucked me up for a few days. I mean, it still is kind of, it's terrifying to be awake and cognizant and conscious, but you can't move. Yeah, terrifying feeling.
I've had sleep paralysis, and it's mostly whenever used to suffer from night terrors. In fact, so badly in college that they tried to prescribe me with Ambien, which I did not like because it made you feel real groggy. So I just gave them to my friends, which now I don't think they were using those for sleep aids. I thought I was being a nice friend. It turns out I was dealing drugs. No, yeah. I'm kidding. I didn't get paid for them. So I was just...
You were just giving drugs.
I was just an idiot, a college kid. But I remember the feeling of exactly what you said, where your eyes kind of wake up and you think it feels like you're being held down, like you're being tied down.
Yeah.
That is when the aliens took me and they probed.
So you do think you were abducted.
I was probed. No, maybe. I'm
kidding. A few nights later, Ellis had another dream. This time a little girl appeared and asked him,
"You've seen dear David, haven't you?"
She then explained that David is dead and only appears at midnight. If you want to address him, you must do so by saying, "Dear David." And most importantly, while you are allowed to ask David two questions, you must never, ever ask him a third, or he will kill you.
This is another trope that is important to a good ghost story, is leaving a window into an
fuck something up.
Well, leaving a window into an as yet founded reality where in this world you're fine, but in Dear David's world, if you ask a third question, he has these special powers. Mm-hmm. So there's a separation between our reality and their reality, and then an easy window that you can accidentally stumble through to then basically bring harm upon yourself.
Rules set up that if you don't follow, shit's gonna go sideways, and inevitably you forget the rules in your panic.
Don't touch the TV. Don't
exactly
go downstairs. Don't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning like my high school boyfriend's house.
Oh yes, I forgot your high school boyfriend's house was haunted. Tommy has a theory about that. I forgot to tell you
About the haunting? And
about when you woke up and saw someone standing in
the man with the hat? Yeah. Who did he think it was?
He thinks that possibly your boyfriend's parents were just swingers, and it was someone staying over for the night that had just wandered down to the bathroom.
He and I can talk off air why that is an impossibility.
I think that's drawing from some personal experiences. Well, Ellis tweeted that once again, David came to him in a dream. And this time, Ellis decided to ask the boy some questions. Ellis first asked,
"Dear David, how did you die?"
To which David replied in a mumbled voice,
"An accident in a store."
He's British.
You can see by his picture he's British. He's got a smirk. He's got a knowing, intelligent smirk. And I was like, that's a British kid.
He does look a little British.
He's a little
in his
British
picture.
Kid. He's clever than us, and he's having a little fun.
He's having a little wanky fun.
He's having a go at us.
Well, Ellis then asks,
"Dear David, what happened in the store?"
David said,
"A shelf was pushed on my head."
Terrified and not thinking clearly, Ellis makes the fatal mistake of asking a third question.
Who pushed the shelf?
David doesn't answer. Ellis said he immediately woke up and was terrified.
You broke the rule, man.
Still determined to get to the bottom of the mystery, Ellis turned to Google for help.
I mean, who amongst us wouldn't?
I would have already Googled this. He began searching for young kids named David that had lived in New York and met their fate in a tragic grocery store accident.
That is going to get you on an FBI list. Little dead boys grocery store. Like, Mr. Ellis, we need to talk to you about your search history.
His searches didn't turn up anything, and eventually Ellis, who was in the middle of moving apartments, forgot about David and the ominous dream. According to Ellis, all was quiet for several months, and he thought David had lost track of him when he moved to the upstairs apartment. Then things changed. Ellis tweeted,
For the past 4 nights, my cats gather at the front door exactly at midnight and just stare at it, almost like something is on the other side.
He went on to say that
last night, I got a weird feeling and I looked out the peephole, and I'm dead certain I saw movement on the other side. When I opened the door and turned on the hall light, nothing was there, but my cat seemed unnerved, bushy tails, etc.
Ellis finished this series of tweets with,
and that's where I'm at right now. Dear David found me, I think. I don't know what to do. I'll keep you posted.
By now, Ellis's story had gone very viral on Twitter, was being shared across all social media platforms, and thousands of people were glued to their screens awaiting the next update, including Heather.
Oh, yes.
In the wee hours of August 8th, the ghost story became even more creepy and involved as Ellis started sharing pictures and videos of the possibly paranormal occurrences he was experiencing. He posted pictures of the hallway outside his apartment door, which had been spooking his cats for days, and sure enough, it appeared that something or someone was hiding on the stairs. Terrified, Ellis deadbolted the door and climbed into bed while his cats continued to meow at whatever was lurking in the shadows. At what point do you get the fuck out of there? I would have already left.
My question is, it's a New York brownstone. Who's to say someone's not just living on your staircase?
Right? Yeah. Or, I don't know, a giant rat is out there?
That could be a pizza rat.
A big old New York rat.
Another viral sensation.
Yeah. This continued for several nights. Several Twitter users that were following his story suggested he draw a line of protection in front of his door with salt, which he did. However, it didn't seem to work. And on the morning of August 11th, Ellis tweeted,
I used a sound app to record my apartment last night. It makes individual recordings each time it hears something. There were 33 recordings.
Also, you live in New York. Also, did you just pour a bunch of salt around your door?
Yeah, the pictures show an Epsom salt container, and he just poured salt in front of it.
He goes to the CVS.
He even said, I don't know if this is the right type of salt, in his defense. I don't know what the right, that, again, I would go to Google.
A, Google it. B, find a witch. You done goofed. You used the wrong kind of salt.
What kind of salt do you use?
I would ask a witch.
He should have involved a witch
by now. They know these things.
Of the 33 recordings, 3 were of specific interest, and Ellis uploaded these to SoundCloud and shared them with his followers. The recordings, which happened between 2 to 3 a.m., were of odd snapping sounds, static, and what sounded like a single step. Ellis remained asleep during this, and at one point can be heard groaning.
This is why I have dogs and not cats, because cats don't give a shit, man. They'll just let you sleep through whatever. My dogs would have been barking their asses off.
Well, the cat was meowing, letting him know something was out in the hallway.
Well, that cat wouldn't do nothing while there's sounds in the night. Let me just say, if there's even the creak in the night, the goose is on high alert.
Kate barks the goddamn mailman every day. Every day the mailman
she
comes.
She can't remember.
Or she does, and she just doesn't care. But she every day them. Is a thing. When the lawn guy comes, it's a thing. She hates them, yes. And it drives me bananas.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
The next day, on August 12th, Ellis posted a selfie of him in his living room, with a glass-paned door behind him. He was letting his followers know he was headed out of town for the weekend to take a break from all the craziness.
I saw a news story on NBC not to do that because they'll rob your house. That was just me being a grandma.
Oh, okay.
You get identity thieves. You're really not supposed to do that.
Oh, that you're going out of town?
You're never supposed to tweet or Facebook that you're going out of town. You're asking for it.
Shortly after Ellis posted the pic, a Twitter user made an unnerving discovery. In one of the glass panes in the background, there appeared to be the image of a misshapen head.
So did he pick the positioning because he was in front of the glass? And he could Photoshop it?
I have some hot takes. Yeah, I think this is all Photoshop. Well, yeah, when we get to was this real or not, no. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
20 minutes in. Nope.
Nope, it's not.
Turn the podcast off.
Over the weekend, Ellis purchased a Polaroid camera. I have one of these. And decided to snap some shots of his apartment. For the most part, they were unremarkable. Then, in the late evening of August 13th, he shared some pics he had taken of his hallway. As the picture slowly started to develop, Ellis saw that despite the light in the hall being on, the picture was completely black. To double-check it wasn't a fluke, he continued to take pics of the hallway with both the Polaroid camera and his iPhone. When taken with his iPhone, the hallway appeared normal and illuminated. However, for reasons Ellis couldn't explain, the Polaroid pics continued to come out black.
Well, definitely it was a ghost, or he had his finger over the hole.
He did do a test with the finger.
That's what she said. You know
ba-doom,
what?
Boom.
Every good
we need
man.
A cymbal sound that we can.
Tommy?
Yes, Tommy, please edit in a cymbal sound after
every
that
good
joke.
Man will do a test with his finger to make sure in the darkness that everything's going well.
Right, right. Well, and
he's being polite.
And he did. He posted two side by sides. One had his finger over the hole.
He put his finger in
the other
hole?
One didn't. And the one that didn't looked completely blacked out. The other one looked, you know, fuzzy, grainy, how it would if your finger was over it. He thought of these things. He thought of what all the naysayers were going to say, and he was one step ahead.
Maybe two step ahead.
Many steps ahead. Ellis then posted a picture of him holding the Polaroid shots, which is when things started to take a terrifying turn. Twitter user @BeardoRunner, who had been following the story from the beginning, commented on the photo.
I'm not sure David is still in the hallway. Looks like he's in the shadows just above your Polaroid.
His name's Beard.
I know. I the whole time I was thinking, why? I guess he has a beard.
And he likes
to run. There you go. There's
Hell
Beardo
yeah.
Runner. And Beard Runner was probably already taken. Got to add that O on let it count.
Claim it.
Sure enough, it did look like the eerie image of a young, deformed boy was standing in Ellis's living room. This sent the sleuths and ghost hunters of Twitter into a frenzy, and pretty soon people were analyzing every picture that Ellis had posted and running them through photo editing programs to see if they could uncover any more clues.
Much like the Comic Cemetery subreddit, there is also a paranormal explanation subreddit, and they have torn this guy up.
Tore him a new asshole? Tore him a new hole?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Pretty soon, people were sharing images of the infamous black hallway that they had lightened up, which revealed a silhouette of someone standing in the doorway. Some followers re-examined the pictures of Ellis's bedroom that previously had been considered innocuous and claimed they now saw a demon lurking in the closet.
Well, that escalated.
Quickly. It was unclear whether there was any validity to these claims or if this was all a result of pareidolia, which is when people interpret random images or patterns of light and shadows as faces or other objects that have been suggested to them.
Oh, the power of suggestion.
And you know how so many people see the Virgin Mary or Jesus in a piece of toast.
Selena in a tortilla.
Or a water stain that has appeared on their floor.
It's true. Have you ever seen the image of something and something else? Like every time you're in the bathroom and there's a coat hook with the two screws,
oh,
it looks
yes.
like an octopus
sure,
ready
sure,
to fight.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Much like followers had suggested Ellis use salt to protect himself, they also urged him to sage his apartment to rid it of any negative energy or evil presence. Skeptically, Ellis obliged. His skepticism proved to be right. And on August 15th, Ellis simply tweeted,
"Sage did not work."
He went on to elaborate.
I haven't dreamed about David in a few months, but he appeared again last night. He was smaller this time, almost shrunken. He didn't do or say anything except look at me. Anyways, it feels like a bad omen.
I just want to point out, when I tried to buy sage...
This is so funny.
I texted Christy from the Sprouts Farmer's Market. I went to go buy sage. I asked a worker, may I, you direct me to where the sage is? And he sent me to the spice aisle. And they had...
He sent me three pictures of sage. One was sage that you would cook with.
Yes.
One was... just little sage flakes that was dried in a baggie.
Yes. And then, so I took the baggie of dried sage flakes to the front to pay for it. And the lady looked at me and I said, I was trying to find sage to sage my new house. And she just held her laugh, God bless her, and said, I think you meant to go to the holistic healing aisle. And they sent me to the right. But Christy almost died.
It would take so long. And I'm not even sure how you would do it if you used all those little flakes.
I wondered, looking at the plastic baggie, how I was going to set it
just
ablaze.
Light the whole thing on fire and just throw it in a room and hope it works. Exactly. Like a smoke bomb.
God.
Well, on August 17th, Ellis reported that his cat was still hovering around the door every night at midnight. And at 3 a.m. every night, his sleep app would record 5 minutes of static. Ellis appeared to feel overwhelmed and had a constant ominous feeling he couldn't shake. On August 21st, he tweeted,
all this ghost stuff has been spooky, but this past weekend was the first time I actually felt unsafe in my home.
He said he had dreamed of David again, and this time David was dragging him by the arm through an old abandoned warehouse. When Ellis woke, he had a weird bruise on his arm that had not been there before. To add to the eeriness of this, when Ellis went to get breakfast the next morning, he noticed that a once bustling food cart repair warehouse located down the street from his apartment had suddenly closed overnight and was now totally empty. Or almost empty. Ellis posted a pic from inside the abandoned warehouse where one solitary, small, green chair sat, the same color as the rocking chair in his bedroom where he had first seen Dear David weeks ago.
If this is a hoax, can you just imagine this dude dragging a rocking chair and walking into a warehouse?
Everyone was so wore out by him trying to pull one over on everyone.
I just need a minute. Let me put my rocking chair in here. Hold on.
A few nights later, on August 25th, Ellis tweeted,
there have been a few small developments in my apartment, but I'm not really sure what to make of them. I just know I'm scared.
Ellis's cats had changed up their nightly routine and would now meow at the door at 10 p.m. for 15 minutes. Then Ellis revealed a haunting new development. Every night for the past 2 weeks, shortly after the cats would stop crying at the door, he would receive a call from an unknown number. Ellis shared a pic of his call log that showed a history of incoming calls with the ghostly identification of no caller ID.
Well, yeah, ghost boys don't have caller IDs.
No, but you know who else doesn't?
Spammers.
Salespeople. Yeah. You know how many no caller IDs I get in a day?
Also, Adam lived in New York. I have a cell phone with a New York area code for work. I must get 10 spam calls a day.
Yeah.
And sometimes it says AT&T spam risk, and other times it says no caller ID, and other times...
Well, those are David calling you. He's trying to get in touch.
Oh, God.
He needs some legal advice.
Oh, God. He's like, I've been trying to get in this apartment.
What are my squatter rights here?
Exactly.
Thinking it was some sort of an automated sales call, Ellis eventually answered. He tweeted,
I didn't say anything. I just listened, waiting for some automated message to chime in. After about a minute, the static stopped, and there was silence. I kept listening. I heard what I thought was breathing, but it was so faint I can't be sure. My heart was racing, so it was hard to hear. Then, just as I was about to hang up, I heard a very small voice whisper,
hello, would you like to go on a cruise? Simply fill out this survey and you could be entered to win a cruise on the Royal Caribbean Enchantment of the Seas.
Well, he missed a very fun vacation, it sounds like.
I think that David was getting a job and it's not easy to be a telemarketer.
Especially when you're a dead kid.
You know what? It's hard to get to work
it's
every
day.
It's
hard to get any kind of job when you're a dead child. Ellis said the faint hello was not a question or a greeting, just a flat statement that left him with a sickly feeling. He quickly hung up, turned on all the lights in his apartment, and didn't sleep a wink that night.
I mean, same though, right? I'm a big fan of turning on the lights on.
I mean, again, I would not be in this apartment.
Straight up.
I would have gotten a hotel, stayed with my family, anybody. Maybe just have found some dude at a bar to go home with for a couple of weeks so I could get out of this hellhole. This gateway to hell that I've opened.
You're like, Katie, you want to come home with me? Yeah, sure. It sounds sweet. There's like a dead kid hunting in the apartment, but I do all kinds of nasty stuff. Wait, what did you just say?
If we go to your place, though, I'll do whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, no funny business in my place.
Ellis had a trip to Japan coming up, and in order to keep an eye on his cats while he was away, he had purchased a pet cam that would record everything in his apartment 24/7 and activate if it detected motion. Ellis tweeted that he was hoping David would lose track of him while he was on vacation.
Well, we've learned from the Smurl family that demons can follow you. Also, I have a motion
sensor.
And that
demons just want a good vacation.
Sometimes they want to go to the lake. Japan's a dope place to go.
I would love to go to Japan.
But I have a motion detector camera in my living room. And sometimes at work, when the big dog is away, and I mean, I have an alarm and everything, but when the big dog's not here, usually Lucy doesn't set off the motion detector. And when it goes off, I look, and it's always my skylights, the light changing, but always, always I watch, every time I watch that 5 second clip, I'm just waiting to see something.
That's how I feel about the baby monitor.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I hear something weird, the other night, I heard creepy music coming from the bedroom, and Ella has broken the baby monitor, so there's no image on the screen anymore. It's just audio.
Oh, God, that's worse.
And so all I could hear was this creepy music. She's sleeping. I was by myself. I did not go in that room.
Mom confession. You're like, demons are nice. They won't attack babies. She's an innocent.
I did not hear any type of tussle or anything.
She's a tough baby.
And so I just texted Tommy and said, is there a reason that music? And he said, oh, I put her little giraffe in there with her. I finally went in there. When Tommy got home,
it was the giraffe.
She had rolled over on her giraffe and it was stuck underneath there just playing the song she over and over. Oh, that sweet angel. Mm.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
One weekend, when Ellis was out of town, his phone pinged, letting him know the pet cam had detected something. When he watched the footage back, he became very disturbed. In one video, the green rocking chair, which Ellis had now moved into his living room, began to rock on its own. Classic trope.
God.
In another recording, a green turtle figurine inexplicably fell off the wall.
Well, David was just sitting rocking in that chair and got pissed off about how ugly that turtle figurine was and batted it off the wall. He was doing him a favor.
He's got a thing with green.
Oh, that's true.
Got the green rocking chair, the green chair in the warehouse, this green turtle figurine. For about a week, everything was quiet until on September 5th, Ellis began a new thread with the horrifying tweet.
It's happening again.
Ellis had been reviewing the pet cam footage and was discovering more and more proof that he was not alone. His cats were behaving strangely, getting spooked by and batting at seemingly invisible things, and more items were falling off the walls and bookshelf.
Uh-uh.
A couple weeks later, on September 16th, Ellis tweeted about more nightmares, this time involving a severed head in bed with him.
God.
And dark figures staring in his bedroom windows.
Oh, God.
Took a turn. He also talked about another creepy incident with the abandoned warehouse near his house.
Stop going to the abandoned warehouse.
He said he has to walk by it every day to go to the store or his office or wherever. It's right in his path of everything.
Oh, so Heather, why don't you move to New York City? I don't know. I don't like walking next to abandoned warehouses every day of my life.
Also, I just don't like walking everywhere.
Same.
According to Ellis, he was walking to a bodega near his home when he passed the warehouse and heard a dull thunk from inside. Curiosity got the better of him, and he quickly held his phone up to a grated window, snapped a pic, and ran.
I know exactly where I've seen this happen. The introduction of a Law & Order SVU episode.
Ooh.
You can't be walking down the street, hear a thunk in a warehouse. You're going to... 5 minutes later, Ice-T is going to be like, what'd you see, man? Tell me.
You just keep walking. Would you have stopped?
No!
Hell no. Also, he probably saw that SVU episode, too. Once he was home, Ellis looked at what he had taken. It was a dark, grainy picture of an old filing cabinet, a ripped-up leather chair, and some insulation. But of course, that wasn't all. Perhaps it was another case of pareidolia, or perhaps not. But Ellis pointed out what looked like the outline of David lurking in the shadows. Once again, Twitter set out to get to the bottom of this sinister picture. Filters were applied, the brightness was altered, and eerie faces were being pointed out everywhere.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a Rorschach test, if you say
that. That's exactly what Rorschach tests are.
Have you ever done one of those?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No. I mean, only insofar as like on a movie when someone else is doing it.
But they're designed to get into your current mental state because the pictures are not real pictures.
No.
They're just ink blots.
I think everyone always looks like a butterfly.
There's a lot of butterfly looks, but some would see maybe a uterus.
Oh.
Or others might see a skull. Like, whatever you see is telling the psychologist or psychiatrist kind of where your psyche is at the time.
It's one of those where they tell you there's no wrong answer, but then when you tell them an answer, they say, that's fucked up.
Yeah. They might not be the wrong answer, but it's a weird answer. It's gonna get you a note written down in your file.
Like, don't judge me.
Not much happened for the next few weeks. Ellis went to Japan and didn't tweet much.
Good, I hope he enjoyed his vacation.
On his last day there, though, he posted a picture of a large stone statue he came across while sightseeing in Nakajima Park. The statue was called Mori no Uta, or Song of the Forest, and was of a mother holding several children, one of which had a large dent on the side of its head. The similarity to David severely spooked Ellis, and he feared his overseas trip had not freed him of the ghost child.
Well, maybe it was just an old statue, and it got mashed in on the side. People
like to
climb.
Do you think he actually went to Japan, or do you think he just found that picture? I don't even think he probably went to Japan.
Oh, damn.
I don't know.
Well, once you sort of start to question the veracity of something someone says, then suddenly everything they've said comes into question.
You see it through that filter, absolutely. Once Ellis returned to the States,
supposedly.
Yeah, exactly. Or just his living room. His posts became less frequent. Updates were now being tweeted roughly once a week. In mid-October, he tweeted about some light bulbs that kept burning out, even after changing them multiple times, and some other bizarre electrical problems he was having. He also started hearing weird scratching noises outside his front door. Again, he held his phone up to the peephole and blindly snapped a pic. Not surprisingly, after some photo enhancements, Ellis and his loyal Twitter followers believed they could see the outline of a face, ear, and eye staring back through the peephole.
Was it Kramer? Was it just a reverse peephole?
That's such a good episode.
I like when they posted this, when the debunker said, if it was the ghost child, he wouldn't be tall enough to look through a peephole. I thought, he's a ghost.
Burn.
He could.
He's hovering.
He can hover. Yeah. I don't think he needs
a
stethoscope.
I don't think ghosts play by the same rule.
Or someone else is walking down the hallway and he says, pardon me, sir, can you give me a boost?
Give me a boost.
I'd like to look through this peephole.
And they're like, sure, little British boy.
Don't get a reverse peephole.
No. Don't. It didn't work out for Kramer.
No, the movie phone guy came to get him.
Mm-hmm. This prompted Ellis to finally bring in some outside help. Well, it was about time. He had a friend come over to perform a cleansing, and for a while it seemed to work. But then it became clear it had not.
I don't think you can just have any friend come and do a cleansing.
No.
You need a witch.
We still need the witch.
A ghost hunter. Someone with a priest.
A priest.
You need that. We need that off-book priest from the Smurl family one. The one that didn't recognize Pope John Paul II and went rogue all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You need that guy. He's going to come
rogue
in.
Rogue priest. He's don't just call a friend. Call a rogue priest.
You need a guy in full vestments, hollering in Latin, mm-hmm. splashing holy water everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not a girl from your improv class.
That's totally.
Although we may know. I mean, you never know.
Hey, I probably know several girls from an improv class that could do a proper cleansing on
exactly,
your house.
But not this guy.
Us being two of them. One morning, Ellis was walking past the abandoned warehouse again.
Again.
He had to get somewhere. He had to walk past it. When he noticed a hearse was parked inside.
Get out of this neighborhood.
He and Twitter pored over the picture he had taken of it for signs of hidden faces, but didn't find anything, leaving Ellis to think maybe it was just a Halloween prop being stored.
Or maybe there's a person in there that's on their way to their final resting place and you shouldn't be snapping
have
away for your
sympathy.
Internet viral sensation.
However, the next day, on October 25th, Ellis claimed he was in his kitchen when he looked out the window and saw someone staring at him from the rooftop across the street. He tweeted,
I immediately ducked down. I reached up and flipped off the light switch. I peered over the windowsill, but I couldn't see much.
He went on to say,
my phone was in my pocket, so I grabbed it and took a photo. It was blurry and dark, but I swear someone was out there.
In the photo, it does look like a small, haunting figure is staring into his window. When Ellis tried to snap a better picture, the figure had disappeared. However, the photographic evidence of David was about to escalate.
I think if we've learned anything, if there's a man standing on a building across, it's probably Batman.
It was little Bat David.
Could be Spider-Man.
Maybe. So, again, David's just trying to go on a vacation, also save the city from some crime.
You don't even know right now. He could be fighting the Joker, and you here you are trying to snap pictures and blow his cover.
Oh, man. On November 16th, Ellis tweeted that the night before, he had another dream about David that was similar to the first time David had visited him. Once again, David appeared on a chair near Ellis's bed and started coming towards him. While still experiencing sleep paralysis, it wasn't as severe as the time before, and Ellis was able to grab his phone and take some pictures. Right as David reached his bed and began to crawl up it, Ellis thankfully woke up.
This tiny person crawling up your bed reminds me of the Goosebumps story where it's the dummy.
Ooh, oh, I do not like ventriloquist dummies. They can all burn in a big pile. Oh my God. Nothing good has ever come from a ventriloquist dummy. I have a lot of really strong opinions about these.
You seem very disturbed right now.
Hey, I'm just thinking about them. Makes me nervous. I'm starting to sweat.
Your face is turning red.
I do not like them.
Why do you hate them so bad?
Why would anyone not hate them? They're all possessed by some kind of demonic entity. They have these wooden faces, just plastered smiles on their faces. There was a, do you remember Columbo?
Yeah.
There was a
Columbo.
Yeah, Columbo was good. There was a Columbo episode that I saw as a kid that I still remember where a ventriloquist dummy had been the one killing everybody. And that,
well,
getting itself out of its little case.
Wait. Was the ventriloquist dummy the one that was killing or the one that was...
In my mind, Heather, yes. The ventriloquist dummy was the one that was killing everybody.
Oh my God.
I do not remember if it was the actual ventriloquist using the dummy to kill people.
Or if it was a possessed dummy.
I'm pretty sure it was the dummy that was killing people.
Well, in Goosebumps, it was the dummy that was doing the killing.
See? Because they're evil.
No.
Dolls are evil. I've told everyone my story about how my dolls were haunting
alive.
Me. Yeah. Several of them.
They crawled toward you.
And now...
The dummies are next.
We discovered they're in my mom's attic. We found them.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
There they will stay.
Don't go up there.
Mm-mm. Ellis posted the pictures, and to everyone's horror, a small boy with a dented head was creepily sitting by Ellis's bedside. Ellis brightened up the photos, and each jaw-dropping frame showed David inching closer and closer to him.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings, you look for deals, you wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is when followers of the story started to become divided.
Oh, this is when?
These were the first images that could not be explained away by pareidolia. Some felt these images were clearly photoshopped or staged with the help of a doll. Others saw this as definitive proof that Ellis was in fact being haunted by the ghost of an angry dead kid.
Let's just for a minute say the least likely explanation is that he set all this up. And let's just say this man is in the darkness of his apartment with a boy-sized doll posing it various ways. And
that is absolutely what happened,
the
I think.
The saddest imagery that I could ever think of is a full-grown man with a boy doll, and he's shifting him around,
trying to make him look creepy. We'll post pictures of these tweets and images on our Instagram. And you guys can take a look for yourselves and see. I have said before, it looks like a weird Yoda doll that he did some sort of altering to. It does not look like a little boy. It looks like some kind of creepy ass doll.
Some people on Reddit, on the Paranormal Explained subreddit, think that it's a CPR boy doll.
No matter what
young boy doll he got his hands on, first of all, he had to buy a young boy doll. Mm-hmm. And second of all, he had to mash it up. And third of all, he took a bunch of pictures with it. And I can't stop thinking about just for a minute, take your mind's eye away.
Delicately setting this doll up.
What was he say? Take your mind's eye away from the photos that you see on his screen. Zoom out. Zoom your mind's eye out to a full-grown man posing a doll on the end of his bed and gingerly taking photos, and it's the saddest thing you can ever think about.
Do you think, though, he started to creep himself out?
That we'll get that. I have a theory.
Because I think if I had been doing this, I would have started to creep myself out.
I'm going to save my theory till the end, but I have a theory about that.
On November 17th, Ellis tweeted,
"For everyone asking, yes, I'm alive. I've been on the quiet side because there's something I'm trying to investigate, and I'm not sure how to yet. I'd rather not tweet unless I have something substantial to share."
What Ellis was trying to investigate was an odd noise coming from above his apartment. He lived on the top floor of his duplex and had always assumed the mysterious hatch in the ceiling of the hallway led to the roof. However, he had recently discovered this was not the case. Upon further examination, he realized the hatch was actually 3 feet below the roof, which meant there was 3 feet of unaccounted space above Ellis's apartment. He tweeted photos that showed his followers the layout of the building and the mathematics of this.
Well, if CSI, the original CSI, the one true CSI, has taught me anything, is that if you hear banging coming up from your attic, that it's probably a creepy cable guy that's trying to kill you who's living up there, like that episode with Nick where the creepy cable guy was killing people by living in their attic and then came down.
The episode of Nick?
No, the episode of CSI where Nick, the hot George.
Yes,
I can't think of his name. He's from Dallas, though. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The hot CSI named Nick was not haunted, but he was stalked by the cable guy who lived above his house in the attic.
There's a really creepy episode of Criminal about
that.
It's a podcast. The podcast Criminal.
Oh.
That is very haunting, and it's very true.
It's like a real thing that happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A girl was living in her apartment. She'd moved in, and she kept hearing things in the attic. and assumed it was squirrels or rats.
No, somebody's up there jerking off to you.
Somebody was up there living up there.
No, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm.
Well, she never saw him. She never saw him.
Multiple.
There was proof that somebody was, like, a man had been living up there. Probably just a homeless man.
That's horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Think about how many times you're sleeping in that room. And she knew something was going on.
Was he eating her food?
Yes.
Joke's on you. I don't have any food in my house. I only eat takeout.
He would starve to death. Then you're just going to smell his body rotting up in your attic.
Leave to another house. Go to a family with food.
Yeah, her food would be missing. And then it culminated.
There's a post-it note that says, buy more rice cakes.
Yeah. Could you get 2% instead of
whole milk?
Fat-free. So she's taking a bath. And she looks out her bathroom door into her bedroom. And she sees that the door to her closet is open.
I'm going to throw up right now.
I audibly gasped in my car when I was listening to this. I was very chilled.
I'm going to throw up. I can't.
And she said she knew that she had not left it open.
This is why you have dogs.
And there was a hatch to the attic in the closet. So she said she just looked at it and she got very calm and she just got out of the bathtub and put on her robe. And then she went in the kitchen and used the phone to call her sister-in-law, get out of that house. And then she got out of the house. And they came over.
What year was it? She didn't have a cell phone?
This was cell phone times. Yeah. Oh, actually, it may have been in the 80s or something. Yeah. And she left the house and her sister-in-law came over. I think it was somebody family.
They didn't call the police?
No, the police came too. Okay. They called the police. And they went up there and just found cans of stuff, the food that she had been missing up there.
Where was he going poo-poo?
Probably. He was coming down when she was at work. Oh, this is what was crazy, though. So she had got a puppy, and she kept the puppy in the bathroom when she was at work.
Yeah.
And she came home one day.
The puppy was
and
out.
The toilet had overflowed, and the puppy was in the sink.
Dead?
No, he'd heard the puppy whimpering. He was a nice man.
Oh.
And he came down to the bathroom.
Don't you like how I assumed, like, he drowned the puppy? Well, clearly.
He drowned it in an inch of water. Yes, he picked up the puppy so it wouldn't get wet and drown and put it in her sink.
Well, you
And
know,
she thought, what the, how the fuck did this happen?
And that wasn't a tip-off?
You know what I'm saying? There's so much, but I have such a low threshold for putting up with weird shit.
You just shut it down immediately.
The very first sign of something not right, I shut it down immediately. I told you, I was about to leave my house with the baby in the pack and play when I heard sounds coming from the bedroom.
That's right.
So I'm like, something's not right.
Well, that's why I have cameras all over my house and motion sensors and like an alarm.
You're smart.
The one time that my mom left, and she left them when Buffy was here, she's a 70-pound pit bull mix hound dog, and she sets off the motion that Lucy won't, but Buffy will. Mm-hmm. My phone, I mean, it blows up. The cops were calling. They were calling my sister. They were calling me. I was like, okay, well, I feel pretty safe. Like, nobody could sneak around.
And I feel that way too. Yes. Yeah.
And I can check my alarm, like, on my phone, so nobody could, like, come and turn. I could see if my alarm got turned off.
Yeah, same.
So I'm one of those, like, super, I'm ultra paranoid. But I guess if someone's living in your attic, the worst case scenario is they're a murderer that are going to kill you. The second best case scenario is that it's a ghost boy. And the best case scenario is it's a nice man that saves your puppy from drowning.
That is the best case. The best, still a worst case, though.
We'll put a link to that podcast in the show notes. I'm not going to listen to it because I don't want to sleep at night. But first,
Well, I basically told you the whole thing.
Oh, spoiler alert.
But she tells it much better because it's the girl telling the story.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. If you're not listening to Criminal, you should be listening to Criminal.
Get on it. Well,
it is very good.
So Adam Ellis hears sounds above his apartment. And
in a crawl space. In a crawl space. I think John Wayne Gacy taught us all. Nothing good.
Nothing good comes from a crawl space. So he says, I'm trying to investigate something, and I'll share when I have something better.
And determined to find out what was in the crawl space above his apartment, Ellis ordered a telescoping pole. The pole arrived over the Thanksgiving holiday while Ellis was out of town. He got back into town and planned to test it out Saturday morning. Good thing, because late Friday night, things got crazy.
Well, you can buy anything on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Prime Search app. Pole.
You can buy lots of poles
buy
on
pole,
Amazon.
All kinds of sizes.
On November 28th, Ellis tweeted,
had barely fallen asleep when I woke up to an incredibly loud crash above me. It sounded like someone had dropped a bowling ball. I bolted upright in bed and immediately felt strange. There was a weird energy all around me. I can't explain it. After about a minute, I heard another crash. I briefly thought about grabbing my shoes and booking it, but that would mean passing under the hatch and
walking next to the abandoned warehouse.
And that seemed like a bad idea. So instead, I just listened and waited, though I'm not sure for what. The crash happened again and then again, probably 15 times in a row, followed by a long silence. Then I heard a smaller, creaky sound from the hallway. In my mind, I registered it as a footstep, but really, it could have been anything.
Ellis said that after the sound subsided, he lay frozen in his bed and eventually fell asleep. The next morning, he went out for breakfast and discovered what appeared to be a result of the unexplained noises. There was some debris on the staircase under the hatch, which prompted Ellis to forego his breakfast plans and run back to his apartment for the pole.
That's just a funny sentence. I gotta get my pole. No time for bacon.
Get out the way. Using the pole, Ellis cautiously pushed open the hatch. His posted video showed what fell out.
Oh, man.
It was a small, dusty leather shoe.
Are you sure it wasn't a wishing boot? You guys, I'm really obsessed with the wishing boot sketch.
It's so good.
From
oh,
SNL.
Man. It's so funny that you tweeted me. You didn't tweet me. You text me. Please don't start tweeting me. That'd be if we just started tweeting
we
each other.
We only tweet back and forth.
You texted me today about that, and I had just watched that last week. It was so good.
Yeah, Blake Shelton, Kate McKinnon, Blake Shelton, Adi Bryant, and they sing the song "The Wishing Boot."
So good.
It's a boot that makes your dreams come true. So he pulls out his pole. He pokes up into the hatch, and the wishing boot falls out.
A tiny little wishing boot falls out.
It makes all your dreams come true.
It appeared to be small enough to fit a child's foot and was old-timey looking. Ellis called his landlord to further investigate, and after climbing a ladder and shining a flashlight in the crawl space, his landlord found a small green marble. Again, green, like the rocking chair, the chair in the warehouse, and the items that had fallen off the wall and bookshelf in Ellis's living room. The marble had a unique look about it, and after doing some research, Ellis learned that particular type of marble was made around the turn of the century. He placed the marble, along with the small leather shoe, on his dresser.
When you find the belongings of a ghost, you want to put them in your house.
Why do this?
You want to take the indicia of the existence of a ghost and you want to put it right where you sleep.
I don't like to use the phrase "they were asking for it" in really any cases. He was asking for it.
Don't put the haunted boy shoe in your house.
Don't do it.
And again, if this is all fake, he bought a boy shoe somewhere.
Yes. And a tiny little marble.
Little boy marble.
Well, after the spooky incident with the hatch, the detectives of Twitter sprung to life once again. It seemed that they had possibly discovered the identity of the real Dear David. In 1921, a young boy between 5 to 7 years old had been found dead in a pond near the O'Loughlin Quarry in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The cause of death had been blunt force trauma to the head. The unidentified boy had been nicknamed Little Lord Fauntleroy for the very fine clothing in which he had been found.
Also, one of the outfits that the online Peter Pan guy from the 90s used to wear.
Also, that's going to be my new AIM screen name.
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Yeah. While Twitter users were quick to make connections between David and Little Lord Fauntleroy, Ellis didn't comment. In fact, no one heard from him again until December 6th, when he tweeted that he
woke up with a start and felt something strange, like something had just been watching me.
This happened for a few nights in a row, and eventually Ellis decided to download an app on his phone that would automatically take a photo every 60 seconds. He set it up on his bookshelf to see what it might capture while he slept.
It's just me open mouth farting. And the app company says, we are going to need you to discontinue use of this app. You're disturbing all
of
our
fart every 60 seconds. The next morning, Ellis scrolled through the pics. For the first 100 or so, it was just him sleeping in his bed. Nothing remarkable. Then, suddenly, David was there. The disturbing photos showed David once again in the chair at the foot of the bed. In some, he appeared to be staring up at the ceiling. In others, he was collapsed on the chair in a lifeless heap.
He got tired.
Then, just as suddenly as he'd appeared, David was gone. That was until about 15 photos later, when David was back and standing right next to the bed where an unsuspecting Ellis lay sleeping.
Oh, God. This is why you gotta put powder on the ground like Paranormal Activity.
Well, the salt didn't help. Well. Maybe powder would help. Ellis described how he felt while swiping through these photos. He tweeted,
"That's where my heart started to race. I didn't want to look at the rest of the photos, but I knew I had to. I swiped to the next photo, and my heart sank into my stomach. He was on the bed, inches from me, staring down at me, sleeping."
As if things couldn't get any creepier, the next photo showed David staring at the camera. It appeared he knew he was being recorded. Again, David disappeared after that photo, and Ellis thought maybe he had left. Then he got to the very last picture his phone had taken. David was now mere inches away from the camera, and all the camera showed was a close-up shot of the side of David's deformed head and stringy, dull hair. The rest of his face was out of shot. Ellis tweeted,
"I am at a loss for words. That malformed ear, that stringy hair, I didn't even know what to think. I looked all over my room, but I couldn't find anything. And honestly, I've been so exhausted, I didn't know how to process it. Even now, all I want to do is just go to sleep." So it's the side of his head and his ear, but not his face. Is he trying to make a phone call?
As if he was
trying to dial in?
Getting up to the camera and trying to pull the camera off the wall.
Oh.
Or off the bookshelf.
Oh.
Like you were close to it.
Like he was behind it trying to dig around.
Exactly.
But he's a 1920s little British boy and he doesn't know how.
He doesn't understand technology.
I can't get
much
the wires.
Like
the wires are disconnected. How do I know if a tweet's been responded to?
Yes. What's a tweet? Is that what a bird sounds like? On December 20th, Ellis went home to Montana to visit his family for the holidays. He was hoping to have a break from the terror that was happening in his apartment. He even tweeted that he was looking for a new apartment back in New York.
Well, there you go. He's moving.
Finally. For the first few days in Montana, Ellis felt better than he had in a long time. Clear-headed. Refreshed. Unfortunately, it wouldn't last. On January 2nd, he tweeted,
"But after a few days, I started to feel strange again. One night, I got up to go to the bathroom, and as I stood in the dark, I couldn't help but feeling like there was something moving outside the bathroom window. The bathroom looks out onto the backyard, and it was pitch black. I could barely see anything, but it's Montana, and there are animals passing through all the time. Sure enough, in the morning, I found animal tracks through the snow. I don't know the specific animal. Deer, elk, neighbor guy jerking off in the window looking at me."
Ellis posted a picture of the snowy tracks, which seemed like normal animal tracks. But when he went outside to get a better look, he discovered that they weren't animal tracks at all, but tiny, child-sized footprints. It was then that Ellis's worst fears were realized. His house wasn't haunted. He was.
And he urinated in front of a ghost boy, which puts you on a sex offender.
He was already on that list from all the Googling of little boys that have...
Little dead boys.
Yes. Where do I get a little boy doll?
And he bought a boy doll.
Mm-hmm. And a tiny shoe.
I just need one.
Excuse me,
they
what are you going to...
come in a pair.
What are you going to do with a
shoe? Throw the other one in the trash. I just need the one.
I just need one shoe. I just need a boy shoe.
Back in New York, Ellis started having nightmares again. On New Year's Day, he tweeted,
"Last night was particularly bad. I felt sick and had nightmares all night."
Who has it on New Year's Eve, though?
"I dreamed that David was hovering in the corner by the ceiling, far off the ground. He was mouthing something, but I couldn't hear any words. Then he was hovering above my bed, staring down at me, his mouth moving faster than it should be. I couldn't move. I could only look up at him. Suddenly, he plummeted downward, and I felt this huge pressure crash into my chest. I woke up gasping, the wind completely knocked out of me. I sat up, looked around frantically, heaving for air, but there was nothing."
Ellis had been using the photo app on his phone and immediately went to see what it had captured. Once again, nothing showed up until the very last photo. The terrifying picture showed David plummeting from the ceiling and directly towards Ellis.
Do you think he threw the boy doll up or do you think he strung the boy doll up? And
I think
it was a pulley system.
I think it took a couple tries to get this one. I think it's like when you're taking bridesmaids are taking pictures and the
my face wasn't good in that one.
No, they're like, "All right, everybody, there's going to be a jump action shot. Everybody jump."
Like on The Office.
Yes, and then everyone jumps, but they keep taking it once everyone's landed. And they're like, "No, you got to jump again. You got to hit.
Jump
you got to take
three.
It when they're about to jump. So then it
jump
clicks
on three
in the air. Yes. I think that's what happened. I think he was laying in bed and just kept throwing this doll up and snapping a pic.
And they're like, everyone's jumping except for Phyllis and Stanley.
Despite this horrifying incident, on January 16th, Ellis reported that he was actually feeling better and had been sleeping through the night. And while he wasn't having any more nightmares, he had been losing time periodically. Ellis said there would be times he would look at the clock, and even though it felt like a few minutes had passed, it was an hour later. He also reported hearing things that weren't there. Unfortunately, both of these can be early signs of demonic possession.
In my experience, are also signs of adult ADHD.
Yes, or just typical life. I hear shit that isn't there all the time.
Or are we all possessed?
Oh, isn't life just one big possession?
Probably no. I was just like, I was singing that song in my head and accidentally sang it out loud at work like an insane person.
Which song?
Today I was singing, what's that band? The Plain White Tees, which isn't even a good band.
Dear Delilah?
No, 1, 2, 3, you can't. Somebody joked, I think Pete Holmes jokes about the Plain White Tees in his stand-up act. And it made me think of that song, I guess. I was listening to stand-up, yeah.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
To add to the concern, followers of Ellis's Instagram stories saw something that shook them to their core. Ellis had gone to brunch with a friend and posted some typical brunch time pics to his stories.
Basic bitch.
He didn't think anything of it until those following him started frantically commenting. One of the pictures was distorted, and it looked like David's face was superimposed over Ellis's. Ellis had no explanation for this and claimed that the picture had been totally normal when he originally posted it. Instagram and Twitter users now feared the worst. Ellis had been possessed by David.
I've possessed a grown man and I'll take as many selfies as I want to.
Oh, brunch. This is nice.
I delightfully love pancakes with butter.
It's not quite breakfast. It's not quite lunch.
Right in the middle.
Ellis responded by tweeting,
I have no clue what happened. It looked perfectly fine on my phone when I uploaded it. I'd say it was just a glitch, but I can't make sense of what's happening with my face.
Well, I mean, you know what? I feel like that every time I see a selfie.
Me too.
Maybe I can. I know what it looks like, what it probably is, but I don't know if I care anymore. I just really want things to be normal again, and things feel normal enough right now. I don't know. I guess I'll keep you updated if something else happens.
It had been a while since Ellis had mentioned his cat, but on January 28th, he posted another video of him behaving strangely. Once again, he was meowing at the front door. That wasn't the strange part, though. This video had been shot from an entirely different angle. It had been recorded from the view of the floor, and when Twitter users froze the last frame of the video, there was David's face, superimposed over the cat's. Had Ellis even posted this, or had David hacked into his account? Users feared they might no longer be dealing with Ellis. Wait. I think he's possessing the cat at this point.
Oh, you think he possessed the cat?
I think this whole story's bullshit.
Well, I was wondering if David possessed Ellis, why would the cat have the boy face on it?
There's a lot of holes in this story.
There's a lot of logistical issues I'm running into here. That's my problem with anything I hear that's outrageous or outlandish. I want to know details. Like today I was talking with someone about the dad in Abducted in Plain Sight, and I don't want to spoil anything for you guys.
But my God.
My God.
Go watch it. It is, I tell everyone, the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Every 5 minutes, your mind gets blown again. And a thing that the dad does specifically in an automobile, I was just talking about the logistics of it, and I had so many questions. And sometimes mystical things aren't meant to be questioned.
And that's what he's counting on.
A lot of questions. Were the windows up or down? Were the windows up or down? Was there music on the radio? Was this full pants down situation?
I think just a little whip windows out half down.
What do you talk about? Did anyone walk by? What do you talk about on the way back?
I also wondered.
Was there any necks nuzzling or kissing?
I also wondered what was being said during it.
What's it said? Do you think it's going to rain on Tuesday?
No, I think it was normal HJ talk.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Spoiler alert, there's an HJ involved.
What do you do with all the goo afterwards? See, I have a lot of questions.
I think there was a lot more to that story that they did not tell us. I don't think it was just, I don't think there was just HJs going on.
I can't think about that. It's horrifying.
Well, on February 3rd, 2018, this message was tweeted from Ellis's account.
Everything is fine.
This tweet did not sound like Ellis's usual style. Everything was in lowercase. There was no punctuation. And there was an extra space between the word is and fine. Was this really Ellis? Was everything really fine? A few days later, Ellis tweeted again. But this time, it wasn't about Dear David. It seemed to be personal. He said,
some of you already know this, but I thought I should make a short update on Twitter about it. A little over a month ago, I made the difficult decision to leave my full-time job after 4 years with the company.
A few weeks earlier, he had announced on Instagram that he was leaving BuzzFeed, and now it looked like he was letting Twitter know. He tweeted,
it wasn't an easy choice, but it just became too difficult to focus on everything, and I decided it was time to turn my attention toward personal projects. I'm nervous about what the future holds, but I feel good. I know big things are coming.
Followers were confused. Was this part of the David saga? Was Ellis being sincere? Some noticed that just like the everything is fine tweet, the last tweet in this thread had an odd extra space between the words feel and good. Perhaps this wasn't a coincidence. On Valentine's Day, the mystery continued when a tweet from Ellis's account read,
please don't worry about me. I'm okay and everything will be like it was before. Smiley face.
Again, this one was all lowercase. It also included a smiley face emoticon, which users pointed out Ellis had never used in any of his previous tweets. The evidence that this was no longer Ellis tweeting, but David, was growing. And then, everything just stopped. On March 12th, Ellis tweeted that he was alive and well, and things had been quiet. His Twitter feed also returned to normal, featuring his comics and pictures and posts unrelated to Dear David. Users were left bewildered and hungry for answers. Why had everything suddenly come to a screeching halt?
I think I might know.
On June 6, 2018, The Wrap broke the news and Ellis confirmed on Twitter that a Dear David movie was in the works. Despite this, Ellis maintained that what he had been experiencing was absolutely real, but because his story had now been optioned for a movie deal, he wasn't able to post about it anymore. And just like that, Dear David came to an end, and Ellis deleted the entire thread from his Twitter.
This is like when Kramer sold his stories to Jay Peterman. Yeah. He wasn't allowed to tell the pants story anymore.
No.
I fell in the mud, ruining the very pants I was meant to return.
Oh, such a good episode.
But he definitely, I think, what happened in March was that he was approached or his representation approached, because it's being produced by BuzzFeed Studios and the producer of It. There was probably early talks.
And New Line Cinema's involved.
Yeah, there were early talks of development, and probably part of that agreement was don't talk about it, and then he had to scrub it because that all belongs. Once you option it, that all belongs.
And he also had to kind of try to wrap it up, too.
Yeah.
So now he's just tweeting, oh, everything's fine, nothing's going on, it's all quiet around here.
Please look away.
Many skeptics and critics have come out since Ellis first started tweeting about Dear David. He had began tweeting about his supposed haunting in 2017, conveniently a little less than a year before his new book was to be released. A few months before the Dear David incident, Ellis had drawn a series of comics for BuzzFeed called Alternative Disney. One of these involved Chip from Beauty and the Beast coming to life and having a dent in his head where the cup version of Chip was chipped. Was this early inspiration for David?
It doesn't look totally like it because it is an altered Disney, so it's Disney-esque, mm-hmm. but the lump out of or the dent in the head is
and
quite
same
similar.
Concept.
And
plant that seed.
Bad Comics Wiki points out he's a big fan of copying and pasting things.
Mm-hmm. 3 days before the Dear David incident was tweeted, Ellis tweeted an exasperated GIF of Joseph Gordon-Levitt with the caption,
"When I'm early to retweet something and then the next day it's gone super viral."
Was this foreshadowing for what was to come? Ellis had also been criticized in his comic work for repeatedly using classic tropes, which is exactly what Dear David is. The classic ghost story of a normal, everyday person suddenly having something unexplained and terrifying happen in their life. And of course, what is more terrifying than a creepy kid? So is Ellis really being haunted by a demonic child, or was it an elaborate hoax created by a talented storyteller in the hopes of being picked up for something bigger and better? Which is exactly what happened.
I think. I mean, here's my theory.
Oh, Christ.
What if he made it all up? He made it up because he worked for BuzzFeed and he knew he had to get famous and he had to come up with a viral story. Look at the Joseph Gordon-Levitt gif. He wanted to be viral. He wanted to be famous. And in so doing, he truly conjured the spirit of a demon, which then took form of the very boy that he had drawn.
And the very pants I was to return.
So
I think you might be on something for the screenplay then.
Also, by the way, if you write the screenplay and you use the idea I just came up with, I will sue your ass because I just made that up. Mm-hmm. So I think what's going to be is this writer and the whole movie, they're going to tease you and be like, is it not? Is it real? Is it not? And then at the end, as soon as you think, oh, it's a CPR dummy, he made it all up, he's going to like look in the mirror and the boy's going to be behind him and you're like, ugh! And classic, then you'll have a sequel.
Classic mirror shot.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going to happen. And I don't know if that's what really happened, but I think that would be a good ending to a movie.
I think that would be a good ending too. I think that you're onto something with how they're going to adapt this. I think he definitely made this up. I don't think there's anything true about this. I do think it's a very well-told story that captivated people and is fun to follow along to. It's like No Sleep on Reddit, which
is the copypasta.
My favorite subreddit.
Yeah.
But you all agree to suspend disbelief, and even though you know it's fake or you might think it's fake, you can't call it out that it's fake.
Well,
everyone operates under the assumption that this is really happening.
Otherwise, you spoil it for everybody. It's like an improv scene.
It's not fun. Don't be an asshole. So we both agree it's a good story, but not a true story.
I think the most haunting thing is his ownership of this boy doll and what he does with it when he's not using it.
In his off time?
In his off time when mm-hmm. he stores it in the closet and he forgets it's there and he opens it up and there's a boy doll falls out.
That's terrifying.
I think that, like, with his comics coming out, and they're not the best, but they're the most widely received, that tends to piss people off. And, like, this story is not the best story, but it was viral, and now it's garnered him this movie deal and whatever else he's going to come along with that. So I
think... which is what everyone in this industry
exactly.
is striving for.
Well, it's everybody on Twitter wants this. Don't act
everybody
like
wants to go viral on Twitter and get famous and have something bigger come of it.
This is the best case scenario for every tweet that every person makes, and anybody that says any different is a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why do you make the tweet?
You're just a hater.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is. But I really think, what if it really does haunt him? He conjured something without knowing.
I think that's going to be the movie. If it's not, again, we will sue your ass. Just bring us into the project. We would love to come into this project.
I have very good ideas.
Please, please, please.
Well, we're taking a week off of the show, but we got some live shows we wanted to plug for you all.
Including gonna be super fun.
This weekend, Friday, January 14th, 9 p.m., Dallas Comedy Club. We're playing in Hot Dish, mm-hmm. me and Christy, and a mix-em-up of some of our favorite comics. And then on January 28th at 8 p.m., Dallas Comedy Club, we're going to be doing The Cult, which has Tommy, Jade Smith, Nick Scott, and Raymond Fisher, as well as Christy and myself. And then you get a Cult Hot Dish double feature on February 25th, 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. at Dallas Comedy Club. We're going to do The Cult first, Hot Dish second. Go to sinisterhood.com/live-show. shows for all the ticket links.
It's going to be so much fun. Super excited for that. We love providing Sinister here to you at no cost. So if you like what you hear, consider supporting the show by donating to our Patreon. We're a small operation, creating the show for you by researching, writing, recording, and producing it ourselves. Any amount is sincerely appreciated and helps offset the cost of making and hosting the show.
As a thank you, you also get some sweet perks like ad-free episodes, a Sinisterhood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group for Ruling the Airwaves and Getting Into It tiers, special shout-out on the show, monthly bonus minisode, and Patreon-exclusive video and audio content, including our new Wedded drama segment that we're going to have coming for this week, as well as Am I the Asshole, Relationship Advice, Judge Christie, and so much more.
You also now have the fun perk of access to our Discord server, where you can connect with other fans in real time, discuss the latest in true crime, share personal ghost stories, or just post adorable pictures of your pets. When I hop on there, everyone's just having a good time. Everybody's so supportive. It's a
happy party.
There's so many memes going on. Yeah, it's just it's a hip, fun place to be. And we also host monthly Q&As with Crowdcast, where you can ask us all your burning questions. Our next one is going to be January 19th at 8 p.m. Central Time.
Come hang out with us. For our patrons not in the U.S., you now have the option to pay in pounds or euros, saving you the cost of the conversion fee. Annual memberships for all tiers are also now available. Those that select this option will be rewarded with a free month of membership.
For more details on all of this and specific member tiers, visit sinisterhood.com and click Patreon on the top banner. And make sure you stick around after our sign-ups to hear your shout-outs and our thank you corner.
So many of you have been tagging us in pictures of you sporting your sweet Sinisterhood merch. Keep those pictures coming. And if you want some cool swag like t-shirts, mugs, totes, and even clothes for your kiddos, all with some of the most amazing, best artwork by some brilliant independent artists that we commissioned to make gorgeous stuff. I was just looking at our merch the other day, and we just know some talented folks.
Oh, yeah.
We're lucky. Go to sinisterhood.com and click on shop in the top banner.
The best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. It means so much to us and really helps podcasts like us get more exposure.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at?
I'm on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace, where you will see one of the few pictures I post tomorrow because it is Simon's 1-year-old birthday. He's one.
Happy birthday, Simon.
I'm going to cry just thinking about it. And then I'm on Twitter at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I will be on Instagram at Heather versus the World. I mean, I already am, but I'll be there. And on Twitter at MCK versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. Laura Robinette.
T. Fiant.
Laura Stanley.
Kristen Newton.
Ren Beach.
Stephanie Larson.
Sarah Pike.
Karen Beck.
Chris Forney.
Maggie White.
Heather Quinn.
Robin Verdon.
Adriana Germaine Protzman.
Colleen Dwyer.
Mandy Casiris.
Jana Mizukawa.
Suzanne Reese.
Sarah.
Jeremy.
Allison Tracy Taylor.
Kate Sullivan.
Bridget Rizzo.
Morgan Chandler.
Whitney.
Alexandria Husted.
Fiercely Private.
Holly Troyer.
Cora.
Madeline Talgis.
Allison Cattle.
Megan Long.
Alicia.
Bria Perk.
Megan Fork.
Kim M. Hawkinson.
Autumn A.
Christina Bocci.
Hannah.
Liz Murphy.
Courtney Anderson.
Kelsey Williamson.
Nikki.
Caleb Green.
Allison Hart.
Elizabeth Wilson.
Wallace Lorion.
Barbie Harden.
Kara Freewind.
Amanda Marrer.
Jen Hill.
KJ.
Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate it. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Mwahaha.
I just want to say thank you in our thank you corner segment to everyone that well wished Simon and myself to get better. You know, as careful as we are, somehow COVID got our house. The house, mm-hmm. The Wallace Brown house was struck, but we are all feeling much better now. So thank you to everybody that reached out to see how we were doing, especially for Simon. That's so sweet.
We did. We got, after we posted the grazing board episode, thanks to everybody, tons of comments on every forum that we post, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the Patreon group of, we're praying for little Simon, well wishes, healing vibes, and the vibes came through,
y'all. They came through. You guys did it. You guys did it. Thank you so much. And, you know, thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Christy, for being here today, despite fighting a disease that's, I mean, it's gone now, but a virus that's kicked the shit out of a lot of people.
I'm better now. I would also, well, maybe I'll save this thank you for the next episode we do.
Okay.
You know what? I'll thank you right now.
Okay.
For my birthday presents.
Okay.
And I'm going to go into detail about what those presents were on the next episode we record.
Deal. Deal.
Okay. All right. Well, I love you.
I love you.
And I love all you guys, too.
We love you.
Thank you. Bye. Sinister.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.